Psalm 150. Read the entire psalm. It's not a long psalm, just 6 verses, but follow in your Bibles as I read. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary, praising him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this passage. We thank you, Lord, for this subject. And I ask, Lord, that we as God's people would be examples of praise, that we would truly praise you for who you are and all that you have done and will do for us and that you are doing for us. I pray that you'd give us understanding today. Help me to present the message so that people will understand the importance of this subject. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who is not saved, that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior before it's too late. Point us to yourself. Help us to praise you today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Times of trouble in a Christian's life put our faith to the test. Can we praise God when things go wrong? Can we praise him when we're sick? Can we praise him when others fail us? Can we praise him when our plans are disrupted? Can we praise him when our finances are insufficient? Can we praise him when a loved one dies? If we are honest, all of us must admit that it's difficult to praise the Lord when circumstances in our life take the smile away from our face. Recently, we've faced the coronavirus and problems associated with it. For most of us, we have not had the actual physical effects of the virus, and for that we can be thankful. But we have had to deal with frustrations over the guidelines or orders that have been imposed upon us because of the virus. For example, where you can go, what you can do, whether you're to wear a mask or not, and so forth. And then in some places, people have had to deal with out-of-control government discriminating against Christians and others and forbidding them to meet to worship, while at the same time allowing marijuana shops, liquor stores, and abortion clinics to remain open and continue to function. We understand that in some places there are evil people in government who will try to use the coronavirus to control people and thus advance their political agenda. I believe that's true. I believe that happens. But regardless of the problems of life and the frustrations of life, some of which we've faced, we as Christians should always praise the Lord. There's never a time that's an exception. We should praise the Lord. We who know Jesus as our Savior should be examples of peace. We should be examples of grace. We should be examples of positivity. And we should be examples of hope, regardless of the circumstances. So this morning, I want us to focus our attention on praising the Lord. The psalm we just read is the final psalm of the book of Psalms. The last 5 psalms, Psalms 146, 47, 148, 149, and 150, are called Hallelujah Psalms. The reason they're called Hallelujah Psalms, if you look at your Bibles, Psalm 146 says, praise ye the Lord. 147, praise ye the Lord. 148, praise ye the Lord. 149, praise ye the Lord. 150, praise ye the Lord. In the Hebrew, that's one word, and the word is hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last part of that word, Yah, J-A-H, is short for Yahweh or Jehovah. So it's praise the Lord, praise God. And so they're called the Hallelujah Psalms. And sometimes they're called the double Hallelujah Psalms, because if you look at it, 146, 147, and on through 150 All of them begin with, praise ye the Lord, and also end with, praise ye the Lord. So they're called double hallelujah psalms. The setting of the Psalms, 146 through 150, is probably the rebuilding of the temple. After the exiles, who had been in captivity for 70 years, came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And they were jubilant about it. They were excited about it when the Lord allowed them to do that and said, praise ye the Lord. And it was significant. It was appropriate for them to praise the Lord at that time. Well, we're many years removed from that date, but our God is still the same God. He's still just as great as he always was. He's still as faithful as he always was. He deserves our praise, and he demands our praise, so let's praise the Lord. As we look at this subject this morning from the Bible, I've divided the message up into various points. If you want to take notes this morning, there's a sheet in your bulletin that allows you to do that. And the first point is this, the responsibility to praise the Lord. It is the responsibility of believers to praise the Lord. Why is that? Because we're commanded to. Psalm 146, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. 147, praise ye the Lord. 148, praise ye the Lord. 149, praise ye the Lord. 150, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 113, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 135, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 2, praise the Lord. Psalm 117, verse 1, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. You get the idea that we're supposed to praise the Lord. We're supposed to praise the Lord. Psalm 107 is a wonderful psalm, and throughout that psalm, in four different places, verses 8, 15, 21, and 31, this sentence is repeated, and I want to read it to you. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men. Romans 15, verse 11 says, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye peoples. So the Bible commands us. Our responsibility to praise the Lord is seen in that God commands us to praise him. Well, just who then is supposed to praise the Lord? I looked it up in my Bible and also a search tool that I have, and I looked up praise God, praise him, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, and all those, and I found out different ones that God says to praise him. And here are some of the people. First of all, God says to the city Jerusalem, praise him, praise the Lord. To the priests, he said, praise the Lord. To the Levites, he said, praise the Lord. To the meek, he said, praise the Lord. To the servants of the Lord, he said, praise the Lord. To the congregation of the saints, he said, praise the Lord. And then to all the Gentiles, that means all the nations, he said, praise the Lord. And then he said to all the people, praise the Lord. Everybody is to praise the Lord. Look with me at Psalm 148. An excellent psalm that talks about praising the Lord. It says, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts, praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, ye stars of light. You see, all these heavenly hosts, they're only there because God made them, and God says, praise the Lord. And then he says, verse 4, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, all and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruited trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes, all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. So to get the idea, everybody is to praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6, we read it this morning, it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That includes you. That includes me. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So when things go bad, when things go wrong, when you lose somebody, when someone hurts around you, when things have just become so disrupted in your life, you don't know what to do, the Lord says you can still praise the Lord. And we're to praise the Lord at all times. It's our responsibility to praise Him. But then secondly, not only the responsibility to praise the Lord, but the resources with which to praise the Lord. What are you to use to praise the Lord? It's interesting when you look at the Bible, the various things that God tells you to use to praise the Lord. First of all, He tells you to use your mouth. That means just speak up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with your mouth. He says there's certain verses that say that, and I don't believe it's necessarily talking about singing. We'll get to that. But just saying it, praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Not everybody can sing, but everybody has breath. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. And so we should make it a habit of praising the Lord. When you're on Facebook sometimes and somebody comments something's happened and it's good to happen, it's a good thing for you to respond and say, praise the Lord. Because the Lord is the one who gives all good things. Every good thing comes from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 109, verse 30 says, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. I will say it. I will praise the Lord. Isaiah 12, verse 4, talking about the coming of millennial kingdom, he says, in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. And what a time it'll be when the Jews, especially, and of course us as well, will be able to rule and reign with Christ. But the living Jews at that time who are going to see that their Messiah has come and He's ruling and reigning from Jerusalem and all of God's promises have been true, and they say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Luke chapter 19, verse 37, you remember when Jesus came in that triumphal entry into Jerusalem and laid the palm leaves down in front of Him as He rode on that colt into Jerusalem. It says, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. They didn't necessarily sing, but they said it. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise be to God. So we use our mouth to praise the Lord. Also, we're to use song. That is our mouth as well, but it's song and singing. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. You might want to turn there. It's a very interesting passage in 2 Chronicles 20. It talks about Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And he was facing a battle with the Moab and Ammon. And they were the enemies of Israel. And he was up against them in battle. And then the Bible says he made preparation for the battle, and it says an unusual thing happened. Now, this is equivalent to David facing the giant with a sling. How foolish that is, you would think. It's like Joshua marching around the city of Jericho, and the way they marched around, they just marched around, and then they shout, and the walls come down. I mean, that's unbelievable. It happened. And so Jehoshaphat, getting ready to fight this battle, here's what he does. He appointed singers, verse 21, unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. So out in front of the army is this band of singers, and they're singing, praise the Lord. Now, why would they do that? Well, if you look back at verse 17, they were told this, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. You don't need to fight. Just stand there and watch. Watch what God's going to do. Well, did God do anything? Well, look down at verse 21. After He told them to have these singers out in front of the army, and they're saying, praise the Lord, then because they said, praise the Lord, they believed God, then the Bible says in verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. The Lord set ambushments against them. And so the Lord provided those who would defeat them. He said, you don't need to fight in this battle. I'm going to take care of it. And when they praised the Lord, God began to intervene and God brought the victory. Praise ye the Lord. Now, we notice in the Psalms, other verses that say that we're to praise the Lord with us with songs, with the singing. Look at Psalm 146. I almost said chapter. It's incorrect to say chapter because they're not chapters, they're psalms. And you look in your Bibles, it doesn't say chapter 146. It says Psalm 146. Now, I know some Bibles do say that, but I've seen Bibles that say that. But really, it's a book of psalms, and each one is a psalm, so it's Psalm 146. 146, verse 2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. It is good to sing praises unto the Lord our God. It is pleasant and praise is comely. It looks good on you. For a child of God to praise the Lord, it looks good on a child of God. Look at verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises with the harp unto our God. Psalm 149. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. Verse 3, let them praise his name and dance, let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. So singing praise to the Lord, even when you're laying down to sleep, praise the Lord, he says. So God wants us to use our song to praise the Lord. But then there's another way we use that we praise the Lord. The resources that we have is our mouth, just saying it. The songs that we sing, praise to the Lord. But also instruments that we can use. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, and when the builder laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals to praise the Lord. They had trumpets and they had cymbals to praise the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 2, praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. So these instruments are used to praise the Lord. But Psalm 150, the one we read this morning, is a psalm that really gives the instruments that were used to praise the Lord. And let's look at them. He says, the trumpet, and verse 3 of Psalm 150, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Now, the trumpet was the shofar. It was the curved ram's horn. And, of course, our trumpet today came from those kinds of things. But in those days, it was the ram's horn that was used as a trumpet. And the Lord says, praise him with the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery. The psaltery was a type of guitar. A portable instrument they could carry around. It was like a guitar. The harp was a large stringed instrument with deeper tones, and so those were there in those days. And then the timbrel. The timbrel was like the tambourine today. The tambourine, you use it in your hand, and you beat it, and it keeps the beat. It's one for rhythm. And so the timbrel was used. And then stringed instruments. In addition to the psaltery, which was like a guitar, the stringed instruments. Remember that one place we read talked about the instrument with 10 strings. Now my brother has a 10-string guitar. I've seen him play that. But in those days they had a 10-stringed musical instrument. And so they used those instruments. Also there was the organ. The organ was a wind instrument. So that's one way you use your mouth. You can use your mouth with saying praise the Lord. You can use your mouth with singing praise to the Lord. And you can use your mouth with blowing through reeds. That was an organ in those days. Blowing those reeds to make musical sounds. And God says, use that to praise me. Then he says the loud cymbals. And he gives two different kinds of cymbals. Now cymbals are metal things you clash together. That's a simple explanation. But he says there's the loud cymbals and there's the high-sounding cymbals. So one had a different tone than the other. But they were using all these instruments to praise the Lord. So are instruments acceptable in worship? Yes, I believe so. Now, some do not use instruments in their church. And they say, because the New Testament doesn't say that. There are well-meaning people. I have some in my family who are of that persuasion. I don't believe that's true. I believe God wants us to use instruments. And we can't say that, well, you can't use an instrument because it's used by the devil. For years, you know, it was sort of strange to hear anybody use a saxophone for the Lord. But I love saxophone music. And I love to hear saxophone. And saxophone used for the Lord is a wonderful thing. But, you know, that's really a bad argument that you can't say. You can't say, well, you don't use this instrument because it's used by the devil. There's no instrument, I believe, that's been more used by the devil than that one sitting right there. Not this one, but that kind of instrument, a piano. I mean, in all the bars, and you know, back in cowboy days and all that, the piano was used by the devil lots of times. He still uses it. But that doesn't mean you can't use it for the Lord. And so musical instruments were used in those days. But let's go on. There's the mouth. There's singing. There's musical instruments. And then there are actions. Now, actions are the dance. Let's notice it. Psalm 150, verse 4. With the timbrel and dance. Now, the timbrel, making the movement and the beat, getting the beat, and then the dance was affected by that, and no doubt was transferred down to the feet. And so the feet were active. Let's see how this is used in the Bible. Psalm 149, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. If you'll turn back with me there, Miriam, sister of Moses, after the Lord had brought victory to the children of Israel and drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, Miriam sang a song. And it says in Exodus 15, verse 20, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them singing, saying, sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Let's dance. Let's be jubilant. Let's sing unto the Lord. And they used the timbrel as they were doing that. In Jeremiah 31, in verse 4 of Jeremiah 31, it says this, again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, speaking of the future of millennial kingdom when Israel will be honored and Jesus will reign. It says, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. The dances of them that make merry. Look at verse 13. Then shalt the virgin rejoice in the dance. The virgin there is Israel. Rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. And I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. So the dance was an action used to praise the Lord. Let me clarify. That dance was an expression of joy. When joy overflows your heart and you're using your mouth to sing unto the Lord, and using your hands as instruments of the Lord, there's nothing wrong if your feet get into it and you get excited about it. And that's what their mourning was turned into joy, and their feet got busy and they danced. Now, there's nothing at all sensual about that dance. It's not a man and woman dancing together. It's not that. It's a jubilant expression of joy. Now, we don't do that in our church. But I'm not opposed that if somebody gets excited and they're happy in the Lord, that their feet get into it as well. The Lord says, praise the Lord. Now, I just imagine that some of the most straight people here, and I would be one of them, when we hit the streets of glory, if your feet haven't got into praising the Lord down here, I'll guarantee you they will up there. You will praise the Lord. And you'll get excited. So, your mouth, your singing, the instruments, the dance, and then he says the whole heart. Psalm 111, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. in the assembly of the upright. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So every part of the body is involved in this. Your heart, your mouth, your hands, your fingers, your feet are involved in praising the Lord. So the resources with which to praise the Lord, all of us have. Now, you might not be able to sing, but you can still use your voice. You might not be able to play an instrument, but you can still say, praise the Lord. And you can get excited about the Lord. And if you're down so that you can't even speak, the Lord says, with your whole heart, you can praise the Lord. And so God wants us to praise the Lord. Now let's give you some reasons that you're to praise the Lord. Reasons to praise the Lord. Now there's no Bible passage that just spells out all these things like I'm going to spell out, but I wanted to do it just to give some categories of why we should praise the Lord. First of all, we should praise the Lord for who He is. For who He is. Psalm 150, verse 2 says, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. God is great. He is praiseworthy. We should praise the Lord. We get excited about all kinds of things. And all of you do. You get excited about different things. And nothing necessarily wrong with that. But do we ever get excited about the Lord? Do we ever praise the Lord? And the Lord says, praise Him for His greatness. God is a great God. Psalm 135, verse 1, praise you the Lord, for I know that the Lord is great. Psalm 148, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. God is great. When you speak of the greatness of God, you have to think about the fact that He's omniscient. We've touched on that recently. He knows everything. God is great. There's nothing that God doesn't know. He knows about tomorrow. He knows how it's going to turn out. He knows how the problem of yours is going to work out together for good. God knows all of that. He is great in His omniscience. He's great in His omnipotence. That means He's all-powerful. Nothing too hard for the Lord. He's a great God. There's no problem you face that is too big for God. He is a great God. He's omnipotent. He's also omnipresent. That's why we can say there's no such thing as a God-forsaken place, because God is everywhere. God is everywhere. So if you're in a bad place in your life and circumstances are bad, the Lord is there with you. And He's always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's omnipresent. And then He's sovereign. God is sovereign. He's in control of everything. Nothing ever thwarts His plan. God is going to work things out the way He has planned. And God's will is going to be done. And the Lord says He is sovereign over all. There's no big shot that's risen on the history stage that is any match for our Lord. The Lord is sovereign over all. And so God is sovereign. He is great. But not only is God great, we praise Him for who He is, but God is also good. Psalm 106 says, praise you the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. God is good all the time. And as we've learned to respond all the time, God is good. He is good. Psalm 107, verses 8, 15, and 21, and 31, we read it a while ago. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. God is good. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2, oh, praise ye the Lord, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. God is kind to us. He's good to us. You have every reason to praise the Lord because He is good. Psalm 135, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him, because He is good to me. God is good. When you think about God being good, you have to consider that God is holy. Nothing wrong about Him. Nothing, no sin whatsoever. God is holy. He said, apart from all others, there's nobody like Him. He is true. God is true. He's true to Himself. He's true to His Word. He is true. God never makes a mistake. God is holy and true. God is love. The Bible actually says God is love. And nothing can separate us from His love. God is love. God is faithful. And so God is a good God. So we praise Him for who He is. We also praise him for what he has done. What has your Lord done? I mean, just don't consider right now what God is to other people. Let's consider what he is to you. What has your God done? Well, the Bible says he created everything. He existed. He always has been, always will be. But before everything began that we know of in this universe, God was there and God made it all. God made it all. So what has God done? He is the one who has made everything. What has God done? Well, the greatest thing for all of us, he has provided for us salvation. And that's where the gospel comes in. Jesus left heaven's glory and came to this earth to die for mankind, to take upon himself their sin, to die in their place. And he suffered and bled and died. And then he rose from the grave as proof that it was all paid for. And God has made a way for people to be saved. And God has accomplished that. He's provided salvation for everyone. He also has provided for his own down through the history. And we read the accounts in the Bible. If you're reading your Bible through, you're reading through, and you're on schedule, you're reading through Job right now. And every time I read through Job, I'm impressed about this man by the name of Job. He lost everything, his children including. The only thing left of his family was his wife, and she said to Job, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Why do you maintain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" So he really had lost everything. He had three friends. They turned against him. And yet Job remained true to the Lord. And he would not curse God. And he would not blame God. Job, even though he went through some rough times and is trying to sort things out, he did not curse his Lord. He still praised the Lord. And God gives us example after example through the Scripture of people who trusted the Lord and God provided for them. And sometimes when they didn't deserve it. I mean, we never deserve it, but I mean, they were acting against the Lord, and yet the Lord blessed them. God is a good God, and he has provided for his own, and we've seen that through the pages of the Bible. Also, we also find out that we should praise him for what he is doing. Who he is, what he has done, what he is doing. What's God doing? Well, he's still saving sinners. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, I lived for 22 years without knowing Jesus as my personal Savior, and I'm so glad I didn't die before that. I'm glad he saved me. And he still is saving people who come to him. What's God doing? Why should you praise him? Why should you pray? You should praise him for what he's doing. He's still saving people. He's still interceding for those who are saved. He answers our prayers. We talk to him. He's still doing that. He's still keeping us saved. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "I know that whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Jude 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." Who is it that keeps the Christian saved? It's Jesus. It's our God. And so we should praise him for what he is doing. He's keeping us saved. He's also preparing a place for us. John 14 verse 3, "I go to prepare a place for you." What's Jesus doing for us? He's preparing a place for us. We should praise him because of what he is doing. He's loving us. There's never a time that goes by where God's not loving you. Nothing can separate you from his love. So why should you praise him today? Because he still is providing for you. He still loves you. He still keeps you. He still intercedes and listens to your prayers, and he's working all things together for good to those that love him. The Lord is working in your behalf. He's still providing for you all that you need, provision, protection, everything. God is providing for you. So you should praise him for what he is doing. So praise him for who he is, praise him for what he has done, praise him for what he is doing, and praise him for what he's going to do. One of the things that God is going to do is, of course, he'll continue to provide for you. But other than that, what God is going to do is when you die, he's going to take you to heaven if you know Jesus. Only if you know Jesus, but if you know Jesus as your Savior, he's going to take you from heaven. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "We'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord." He's going to take you to heaven. Why shouldn't you praise him? All of us are just a heartbeat from eternity. We don't know when we're going to die. But we know this. When we do, it'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. We should praise Him. He will return for His church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's going to return. The rapture is coming. It could be very soon. He's going to defeat all of His enemies. We read about that in Revelation 19. He's going to destroy all of His enemies right before He sets up His kingdom. And then He'll rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and we'll get to rule with Him. God's going to do this. Jesus is going to do this. We know that. He's going to destroy our archenemy, the devil, Satan. Revelation 20, verse 10. And He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Praise Him for what He is going to do. And then praise Him for what He will not do. What will God not do? You know, there are some things that the Lord can't do. And He will not do this. He will never leave you, and He'll never forsake you. Thank the Lord for that. He also will never lie. He'll never tell you anything that's not true. He will never fail you. He will never fail you. He is faithful. He will never fail you. When you think God is failing you, you have the scripture that says He is not. He is working for you. God will never fail you. Do you have something to praise the Lord for? Sure you do. God will never fail you. Also, He will never need your counsel. Now, some people find that hard to accept, that God doesn't need their peace of mind, that God doesn't need to know what they think. But because He's so great, He really doesn't need to inquire and ask us for counsel. God knows everything, and so He will never need your counsel. Aren't you glad of that? Because how many times in life do we have to say, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll have to wait and see. God doesn't do that. He never needs our input, our counsel. He just wants us to trust Him. And so we can praise the Lord for what He will never do. And that is, He will never fail. He'll never lie. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And He will never need our counsel. And then let's talk about results. The results of praising the Lord. Are there results from praising the Lord? If you are a child of God that praises the Lord, are you going to experience some good results? Yes, you are. Let me give you some of those. I believe it'll make you a patient person. The person who praises the Lord becomes a patient person. Praising Him for His goodness and His greatness. Praise Him that there's nothing He can't do for you. He's always with you. He's always taking care of you. That will take away all worry if you just believe Him, so we can trust the Lord and not be afraid. We don't have to worry. And when you don't have to worry, you can be patient. You can wait on the Lord. Psalm 37 says it like this: fret not because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way into the Lord. Rest in the Lord, and then he says, and wait patiently for Him. The patient person is the person who praises the Lord. They realize how great and good He is, and they praise the Lord, and it gives them patience. Another thing it gives you is a rejoicing. You become a rejoicing person. So a patient person, you become a rejoicing person. Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's praising the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Psalm 149 says, praise ye the Lord. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Praising the Lord will make you joyful. Also, praising the Lord will make you an agreeable person. I mean, it's a person who praises the Lord is easier to get along with. That's why Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4. And again, I say rejoice. And then verse 5 says this: let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Moderation means sweet reasonableness. You're just easy to get along with. You're not a grumpy, hard to get along with person. You're agreeable, and that's because you're praising the Lord. Also, a person who praises the Lord becomes an inquiring person. An inquiring person. That means you ask, you talk to the Lord. Philippians 4 follows on through that, and he says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto the Lord. A person who's praising the Lord is going to be an inquiring person. A person who asks the Lord, talks to the Lord about things, and makes his requests known to the Lord. Also, a person who praises the Lord is going to be a serving person. Serving person. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing." And verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." So praise goes along with serving. You serve the master that you praise. You serve the master that you really appreciate and love. And he's a good master. And he always takes care of us. And he never fails. He never forsakes us. And so it's easy to serve somebody like that who loves you and always loves you. Even when you fail, he loves you and you can serve him. So a praising person is a serving person. And then finally, a praising person is an effective person. An effective person. Persons who praise the Lord are effective. In other words, let me say it like this. If you don't praise the Lord, if you're not happy, if you're not praising the Lord, if troubles and trials get you down to where you lose your joy and you worry just like everybody else, then you'll not be an effective servant of Jesus Christ. You'll not be an effective witness. Why would anybody want your Savior when he doesn't do you any good? A person who's praising the Lord becomes an effective person. Psalm 34 or 43 says this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why are you cast down?" Then he says this, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." The psalmist says to himself, "Why are you discouraged? Hope in the Lord. He'll change your countenance. I mean, he'll make you glad." And so the person who's like that, who praises the Lord, is an effective person because somebody will listen to you if they see that you have the victory. I don't know if you've noticed it, but those things I gave are really an acrostic of the word praise. Patient, rejoicing, agreeable, inquiring, serving, effective. It spells praise. The Lord wants us to praise him. God is experienced in our lives when we praise him. Psalm 22, verse 3 says this, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of men." It's something about praise that the Lord likes, and he inhabits praise. I mean, you want to drive the presence of the Lord away. I mean, he's always with us, but you want to drive the presence of the Lord and his effect on our life away. It's be grumpy and grouchy and fault-finding and not praising the Lord. But the Lord says, "I inhabit praise." When God's people praise him, whether it's publicly or privately, when we praise him, the Lord inhabits our praise. And he's there in a very special way. With all around us that is prone to discourage and bring fear, God's people should say no. I can comment on what's going on. I can be concerned about what some people are doing. But I will not lose my joy. I will praise the Lord. Years ago, a man wrote a song. And it goes like this. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise the Lord. We don't need to fear. We need to praise the Lord. Now, Satan is a liar, and he wants to make you think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen and the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits our praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they only drop, that they drop powerless behind you when you praise the Lord. So maybe the way we can get out of our doldrums, maybe we, the way we can get out of our discouragement is to praise the Lord. If Job can do it, we can do it. May God help us to praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for reminding us from the Scripture the necessity of praising you. Lord, we know that we fail sometimes. We know that sometimes we're not as praising as we should be. I pray that you'd help us to realize that that's sin. And may we praise the Lord. Grant your people, Lord, victory over these troublesome times. And may we be able to smile with confidence that God, our God, is with us. He will protect us. He will take care of us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're always great. You're always good. We can praise you. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.